Mental Health Monday
on Radio City Talk
with Mick Coyle.
Tackling the stigma.
Radio City Talk.
It's Mental Health Extra now on a Tuesday, following on from Mental Health Monday, which was episode 100 yesterday. You may have been listening yesterday and heard that my voice was slowly getting worse throughout the course of the outside broadcast, and it's not improved at all. Jake Mills is here from Chasing the Stigma. Jake, thank you for coming on board again.
Yeah, it's got worse. It's not improved. It's it's got worse. But it suits you, I think.
As I said to you yesterday, I was certain when we did a 24-hour show that I wouldn't last. We did a four-hour show, which I do anyway. Like, so I'd have had to do a four-hour show anyway.
You're just milking it, aren't you? It's like, oh, because you haven't done 24 hours now, you're trying to, you know, oh, but I've done it sick. So in a way, that was harder.
If I was milking it, I'd have been wearing a scarf today. You know that? You know, you see people coming and go, and they whisper like that. Oh, my voice is gone. They're wearing a scarf and they've just got a cup with hot water and just a lemon floating on top. Like that's some sort of magical cure. Yeah. There's no lemon juice in it, no vitamin C. It's just floating on, a little tiny piece floating on top.
Little bit of honey in. Have you had anything like that?
I've had one of these tablet-y things.
Oh, okay. Well, they've worked, yeah.
Honey and lemon flavour.
Well, that's what it's the flavour that actually works, yeah.
I think I normally go for hot drinks. Does that open up the...
I don't know, man. I think you're just knackered, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing. I do feel... yesterday, by the way, so we did episode 100 of Mental Health Monday live from the steps of St. George's Hall. We had the idea to put the shoes out to represent children and young people lost to suicide. I had a feeling that when we did it, that would hopefully get the message out there and get the message across. Jake, I've been absolutely blown away by the reaction on social media. It's been absolutely huge. We've been all over the world, I think, with this image. I know even on your own Chasing the Stigma Facebook page, you've had 10,000 views and shares of that one.
Yeah. Do you know what? The strangest thing about this is that we put out one tweet or maybe two tweets, one Facebook post, one Instagram post at the beginning of the thing. And actually, we've had over 200,000 interactions on Facebook alone, with a reach of over a million people who've seen this. People literally have just picked it up and ran with it because it's done what you intended it to do, which is, well, we didn't intend it to shock people as such. We didn't go out with shock tactics to try and upset people, but we wanted to make that kind of those numbers visual. And allow people to understand, and I think it's done exactly that. It's kind of brought it home to a lot of people, and I think maybe this is something that people don't talk about. You know, we know that people generally don't talk about mental health anyway, and suicide anyway, but talking about suicide within young people and children, you know, we almost give people nowhere to hide when it came to this, and it's had the impact that we wanted it to have.
Mm. I mentioned we got coverage all over the world. I'm looking at the Manchester Evening News.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get a mention in here too. The charity is Jake Mills, who came up with the idea with presenter Mick Coyle.
Pause.
Of the quotes people have commented, that statistic is beyond words. Suffering in silence should be no more. Times are changing and mental health issues are becoming more and more apparent. The sight of those shoes really does embed an image in your head and heavy on your heart. Another added, this is heartbreaking, but I'm pleased that it's now being highlighted just how many school children struggle mentally. Hopefully they can find the help that they need. A lovely lady called Angela came up to me yesterday and she had tears in her eyes and she said, I am just so angry. And I was kind of aware that we might get different emotional reactions to it. And I was kind of preparing myself for it to kind of justify it and also to justify the steps that we took, engaging with charities, bringing charities on board, letting them know, letting people who've been directly affected by it, what we wanted to do before we ever gave it the green light. And she said, I'm angry, but I'm angry in a good way because I'm seeing something now which I need to take and we need to do something about. How can this be the case? And although, you know, anger is not always helpful, that I took a point there that you can look at that and we should be angry. Mm-hmm. We should be annoyed. We should be thinking this is unacceptable to look at those numbers of young people aged between 10 and 19 and more than 200 taking their lives every year.
Yeah, I to be honest with you, I think anger is exactly what's needed. Because I think that, you know, that anger towards the injustice that is happening is what's going to make people stand up and sit up, realise and do something about it, and that anger channeled in the right way is what's going to force change and is what's going to get people to actually take notice of what's happening around them every single day. We can't hide behind ignorance anymore. And that's why a campaign like this and putting it out there so no one does really have anywhere to hide from the facts. This is fact. This is happening every single day in this country. And I think we need anger. I really do.
Reaction to it as well. Thank you to everybody who's been responding. A lot of people, of course, just sharing and favouriting that one across social media. Action to prevent suicide. Mick, this is absolutely heartbreaking to see. Anthony simply says, very powerful. Stephen says, this problem will continue. Too many cuts, not enough funding, pathways discontinued, and a lot of children waiting help and assessments. Bond Gary says, great work, Mick. Andy says, Mick, if there's anything we can do to help, please let us know. There's various different organisations said things like yesterday. We'll do our best to come back to you. Jim says, Mick, wow, if a picture could speak 1,000 words. Hopefully we did more than 1,000 words. Maybe that explains my voice as part of the programme yesterday. The podcast, by the way, part one is ready to download now. So listen to part one where I have a voice. Part two starts to drop out. Stephen says, Mick, well done and keep up the great work. Kate says, gosh, that makes you feel and see how much work there is to be done to keep people talking and feeling connected. The organisation Wonderful Teachers say it's hard-hitting. Crying face emoji there. Ian says, Mick, really thought-provoking. BTL Film Media, is it any wonder our young people feel vulnerable? We can't even look after our adults. Look at the homeless, food banks and poverty. All this plus having to keep up with the consumerism and peer pressure. The world must seem a very scary place to them. Sim says, wow, and how powerful. Many more reacting through the Papyrus social media posts as well. This visual says, Paula, is so moving to think of all the shoes. They should be filled with happy, healthy children and young people. Very effective. Wow, so tragic, says Julie. What a powerful image. Such a tragic loss of our children, says Joe's Crusade. If that number of children have been lost due to a physical disease or outbreak, there will be a widespread panic nationally. Why does mental health continue to be considered by so many as less important? So many people getting in and respond to this one. I mentioned this one yesterday. I'll read it out again. My 14-year-old son, Matthew, was one of them, talking about the pair's issues. He lost his battle with depression on the 14th of December 2017. Such a strong image. Susan said, a very strong, simple message. Totally heartbreaking. Steve says, it's frightening. Andy says, it's powerful and unbelievably sad. Poppy says, so powerful and deeply sad. My heart goes out to all the families. Jeff says, truly heartbreaking. And another one that says, we as a society have to do better. This is just so sad. Telmo says, that's a heartbreaking, incredible, powerful image. Plenty more. So many people. Shocking statistics, says Amy. So many people getting involved in that one as well. But a reaction. It got a reaction. What do we do now, Jake? What's the next thing? What do we do now in regard to this message and the wider messages we're trying to get out there about mental health?
I think what was probably one of the most important things that came from yesterday is that for a lot of people, that was the first time they were made aware of that. And I think that's something to take from that and something to be proud of. And I think that's kind of what we need to be doing more. And I think there was a lot in about taking it out to people, taking it to where the people are. And making people aware of this, because you see from that reaction that I've kind of gone through social media the best that I can do, and I haven't seen one negative comment that's come from this towards the campaign. I've seen a lot of negative comments about the support that's available and the money, but that's exactly what we want to do. So I think it's just continuing to do this, and as I said yesterday, and to make it absolutely clear as well, but this is something that you have taken on, Mick, when you first came up with the idea for Mental Health Monday. And I think I'd probably be fair in saying that you never really had any kind of particular interest knowledge before you started doing the Mental Health Monday, or you know, when we started speaking about it, and that's where you came up with the idea of it. But as soon as you started doing it, you really now are involved, and you know, professionally but emotionally involved in this as well, and you want to keep doing that. And I think to come up with the idea for the 24-hour show, and to do it, to come up with the idea for the shoes, and to do it, I've got no doubt that in your mind, you've got a lot of other things that are going to make a big difference.
But, you know, I mean, when I started in radio, there's a phrase, oh, there's no new ideas in radio. You know, because like Chris Tarrant would always do the same competition on a different radio station, or like somebody else would do the same, oh, it's just such and such a thing. Whereas like in the mental health world, there are new ideas. You can do new things. Like you can say to people, the biggest killer of young people in the UK is themselves, is suicide. Like, that's not like, that's a news story. You know, if you're a journalist and you've got an eye for a news story, that's a news story. That's in the public interest. That's in the public to get that information out there. In the same way, if there was a road accident on the M62, it would be in the public interest to tell people to avoid the M62. There, which, you know, in this particular case, and all the cases we deal with on mental health Monday, these are real people. These are human beings. These are our feelings. This is who we actually are. In many cases, and there is that thing about stigma, which I'm sure some people will switch off and think, oh, it's not something I want to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when you talk about public interest, things that are killing our children, what's more in the public interest than that?
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly why I created Chasing the Stigma, because I had offers to try and, you know, help out other charities and organisations, which of course I wanted to do as well, but what I wanted to do by creating Chasing Stigma was do things a bit differently, to have a new approach to it, to be an outsider coming in and doing things differently, because I think you're absolutely right in that there's got to be new ideas, there's got to be new approaches. I think sometimes when it comes with mental health, and we know about the stigma and how sensitive it all is, and it is, but I think people are scared to be brave and be brave in terms of campaigns and getting it out there, because we've got to talk differently and we've got to get the message out differently so that people can listen, so it doesn't just become white noise. Because I think over the years that's what it has been. People don't really take notice because it doesn't really affect them, and if you can show them how maybe it might not directly affect them, but it certainly will indirectly affect them at some point, I think that's that bravery that we need to really get the message across.
And I'm glad sort of other media outlets picked up on it as well, because I think that's one of the things, you know, if it becomes white noise, it becomes a thing where at the end of it you just go, well, what do we do? Let's put the Samaritans number on there. Now, the Samaritans do absolutely brilliant work. There's loads of different organisations that might be appropriate to different things. So one of the things we were keen to do yesterday is actually pinpoint Place to Be, who are the organisers of National Children's Mental Health Week. Young Minds, who do brilliant work in that particular field as well. And of course, Papyrus, who were absolutely brilliant yesterday in coming down, being part of it as well, taking ownership of it and really spreading that message, because they're a national charity as well. So the things that they were talking about will have been seen in London, in the Southwest, in Scotland, further afield as well, that people would have seen that. And I think that's about all those different charities can play their part, but it's about signposting them in the right way and about people going out that way to find out where we can point people in the direction of.
Yeah, and it just got to be that joined up approach, because there's no, you know, look at those shoes there that represented young people who have died. There's no room for rivalry or politics or competition when it comes to those lives, and it's got to have that joined up approach to be able to work alongside each other and direct people to the help and support that's available.
Holly and Hannah were helping us out with the shoes. The whole Papyrus team helped us out with the shoes yesterday. Carmel Gensante from the Oscar Phillips Foundation was with us for the whole show. Producer John Fogarty, who played a key role in making sure that everything worked yesterday. Yeah. Carl and the technical team.
Did John pass the interview then? Is he here for the foreseeable now? Because that was his task.
Yeah, wasn't, yeah. We're just keeping him sweating on that for a little bit longer. The funniest bit was when there was a song. I think we had a chance to play a song, and you went, "I'll go and get some coffees."
Yeah,
John is such a coffee snob. he was like, "Where are you getting the coffee from?"
Yeah. So, John, you're just getting a coffee, mate. Like, honestly, I'm an Anamina coffee, mate.
Absolutely. Merced Youth Association, Young Persons Advisory Service, so many different organisations were involved in it as well. Support from the likes of the Mayor of the City of Liverpool, Joe Anderson, Councillor Barry Kushner. We had Luciana Berger appeared on the programme as well, Richard Kemp from the Lib Dems. So many people got on board. Jed Flynn, CEO of Papyrus, came on the programme as well. Some of their support teams and work teams as well. So it ended up being a really great team effort, I think. And great to get all those messages out. But there was a moment, by the way, with a little girl who stepped up onto the platform, and you and I both got young children as well. And I think partly, the back of our minds, part of the reason why we do this ourselves, that we've got kids, and you think, well, if we've got kids, they're going to get, you know, a little bit older, then they're going to have to deal with these situations as well. But you and I, we almost stopped talking when a little girl who'd seen all the shoes did that thing which kids are brilliant at doing, which is basically just cutting through all the bluster, all the hype. And she just walked right through the middle of the shoes. Nobody else did. Everyone else walked around, walked through the pathway in the middle. She just walked straight through the middle of them all and went and stood next to like the nicest looking pair of shoes that she could see, and sort of gestured to her grandparents, I think it was, like, these are the ones I'd pick.
Yeah. And do you know what? I think that kind of brought it to life, and for me, it just makes you just, that's why you do it. That's why we're doing it. You know, for her and people like her, as they're growing up now, we want them to be prepared and to understand that they don't have to follow in those footsteps.
Rock, sport and talk.
This is Liverpool Live with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.